Welcome to the Grace Hour. My name is Jesse. This is Zane Turk. How's it going, Zane?
It's going well. What's up?
Awesome. This is our Christian program. We're diving into an amazing topic this whole week. If you've been following along, we're talking about the anatomy of sin and understanding the enemy within. The enemy within.
Ooh, that rhyme.
What the heck? Enemy within. Did you say it rhymed? The anatomy of sin and under. Who's rhyming on there? Wow, we got some amazing script writers. Today on our episode for this Wednesday, we are talking about the progression of sin. And they dived into it a little bit yesterday. If you listened to that, they did great. Pastor Ronaldo, Pastor Steve. And we're going to dive into that today too as well. So thank you for joining us today. We want you to like, subscribe, share all those things. And we get to talk about sin today. So let's, like when I first, understood or when I first heard about, we're talking about sin. It's just like, why do we always, everybody like deer in headlights, like, we don't move, like walking on eggshells kind of. But it's a huge topic in the Bible. We'll get to dive into it today, but yeah, why do we get like that? We're like kind of afraid of it in a way.
I think our new man likes it though.
Amen. Yeah, that's what
the new man loves it.
Yeah,
like it's kind of encouraging when we know we're forgiven, when we're confessed up to date.
Yeah,
like Lord, you have it. Mm. Like you have my sin. Thank
Liberty.
You for forgiving me.
Yeah,
and then He can teach me.
Yeah,
because there's no condemnation.
Yes.
So then I can understand more about who I am and how God is transforming me.
Mm, that's good.
So it's encouraging for the new man. The old man, we're just condemned and we kind of flinch and run away from it. But when we're walking in the Spirit, it's actually an encouraging topic because we know who we are and we know how to, it helps us in our sanctification.
Mm.
It really does.
Yeah.
Knowing our tendencies, knowing our flesh, how it reacts, knowing how to put up guardrails in our life, knowing where the border line is, that if I cross over this now, I'm in sin.
Yeah.
And being aware of those border lines in our life so we can stay away from them.
I love that. Yeah. Making us aware, because it is a part of this world. Sin is
it's always going to be.
it's always a part of this world. Until we're in heaven, the old man's gone and, there's no sin up there. Praise God. But yeah, we have to deal with it now on earth, and it's there. It's the temptations there, all these things. And so today we open up just the progression of it, how it kind of leads into our lives and different ways we can maybe address it, or what we can do to combat it in a way. And so there's many different things. So, Zane, you would just start us off again.
Yeah, let's start it off with there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Right? There's no condemnation.
That's a good way to start.
John 8, Jesus was the woman brought in, she was caught in adultery, brought to him, and he said, "Whoever is without sin, cast the first stone." The only one who could have thrown a stone did it. So that's our baseline, and I think I think we know that, and we're talking about this because of conviction, right? John 16:8, the Spirit will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So we are aware that the Holy Spirit's work in our life is to convict us of sin, and how do we grow? But we grow by looking back and adjusting, making adjustments in our life, in our reactions, and growing from them, So we fall. Proverbs 24:16, a righteous man falls six times in a day, right? Six times? I think it's six times. And then seven times, and then he gets up. So he falls seven times in a day, but gets up. And that's kind of where we are, we're kind of qualified to talk about these things because we've fallen so many times.
Mm.
But God has lifted us up and he has said, "Hey, look, this is where you can grow and let's talk about it." So that's kind of the baseline for the progression of sin. And I think where we should start is James 1. That's a great text there in James 1 verse 13. It says, let no one say when he is tempted that I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. That's a great principle right there.
Yeah,
right. If I'm being tempted, it's not God.
Yeah.
Right. God will test me to see what's in my heart so that I can grow, but he'll never tempt me in order to get me to fail.
Beautiful.
Right. That's a simple thing. Great. What does it say about God's character?
Yeah.
It says that God loves me and he is for me and he is not ever going to trick me so that I would fall.
So the temptation comes. It should be a red flag right away.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. What is tempting me?
What? That ain't from the Lord. Yeah. Right. The Lord doesn't tempt. So yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's a great verse there. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by what? By his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. So there's a couple components to that verse. That there's the temptation, right? There's the temptation. There is the luring, the enticing. But that is, how is that there? But it's by my own desire.
Yes.
Right?
And we could say that's first step, right?
Yeah.
First progression.
Yeah.
The desire, right?
Yep.
And so this is internally, like this has happened inwardly. And they talked about this beautifully last episode, how it, you know, it is produced inwardly. Everybody thinks sin is outwardly in action, and it progresses to, you know, the outward, as we'll see. But it starts inward, and we could call this like a seed, you know, kind of like a seed. This is a seed from the enemy kind of tempting us and putting that in our way. And so, and then I love, like you pointed out, those two, when he's drawn away, these are two different, is drawn away. So this is, the Greek word, I can't pronounce it, but the Greek word is kind of like luring of an animal, luring of an animal. And then that word, enticed has to do with like a fishing, term too, as well, fishing language, kind of like a lure too, as well. So it's, you have this kind of animal nature of that sin does. It kind of like baits us like an animal, like it's hunting us and it's trying to deceive us into, partaking of it, to cause us our desire to want that. We see that throughout scripture. So I thought that was very interesting when I was like, wow, two animals, the hunter and animal, then the fisherman nature, coming after us, trying to bait us.
Yeah. That's a great point. It's cause it's in our nature, right? There's a reason it's called the old sin nature. It's the nature, the animalistic nature.
Yeah.
Isn't that true? And I think we studied the book of Daniel a couple weeks ago. And Daniel chapter 2 is that vision of the golden statue, right? There's that golden statue with the head and the chest and the arm, the legs and the feet. And then in Daniel chapter 7 and 8, it shows that there's like the head is like the lion, that like the chest is like the bear, the feet are like the leopard, and then the fourth beast is like the most exceedingly terrible one that Daniel sees. So Nebuchadnezzar sees this vision of a statue, but also there's something under the surface. There's something under the surface is that it's the kingdoms of the world. They look like beautiful, precious metals from the outside, wealthy nations. But just under the surface, there's like an animalistic nature behind. And that's what we're talking about. Wow. It's like there's some sort of instinctual desire for the things that are wicked and evil. And we're drawn to it, right? Psalm 119:25, my soul clings to the dust. Like we cling to the natural things. We cling to the sinful things naturally without God. So that's kind of what we're doing today, is we're just kind of scratching the surface of, well, okay, what is sin? But what's actually behind it? And behind it, what you're saying from this verse is that we have this animalistic nature that can be like, there's like a lure, like a fishing line, and we're just following it mindlessly. Yeah. Right? Mindlessly, we just go after it. You know, I mean, we can probably think of many examples of what that's like.
Yeah.
You know, there's greed, there's jealousy, there's envy. Mindlessly, I can turn to greed. It just happens. like I'm trying to hoard everything for myself, my possessions, or I see somebody else that has something that I want, covetousness.
Yeah.
And I'm all, like all of a sudden envious, you know,
yeah,
jealous. But why is that? But it's because it's a natural thing that I can tend to, and I'm like lured in by my own desires.
Yeah. And we see that like with Eve too as well. Eve in Genesis 3:6, Eve saw, right?
Yeah.
Like the tempter came and she saw, she looked, and then she desired it, you know? And then this is like that seed that comes in. This is that first progression that I, you know, the temptation is not the sin itself. It's me acting upon it and, you know, and yeah, allowing that to say, okay, I do desire it. I want that. I want a piece of that. I want to take this, or, you know, whatever it is. And
that's a good thing you said, that the temptation is not the sin itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could be tempted, but that doesn't mean that I respond to it.
Yeah.
Right. Even in the temptation, there is the ability to walk by faith in the temptation.
Yeah.
Don't need to succumb to it. And if I'm being tempted, it doesn't mean that I'm in sin.
Yeah.
You know, because often the projection when there's temptation is like, you're in sin already. Mm. You've already given in.
Yeah.
But actually, no, it's good to know and to keep in mind that the temptation isn't sin, but it's when I respond. It's when I like go after the fish, like the little bait in the water, I'm like going after it. Then I'm being lured by it. And then what's the next step here in the verse? But it's, then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin.
Yeah.
So there's that moment where I go towards it, and I'm like longing for that thing that is luring me.
Yeah.
And that moment is where I'm like fully going forward.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't it say in Proverbs, I think it's Proverbs 6, like the man that goes after the harlot, like he goes like an ox, like he goes headlong like an ox.
Wow.
You know, like he's all in, like he can't hold back, and he's like fully pursuing. And there's that moment where it's no longer a temptation, but now desire is conceived, and I'm like falling headlong, like an ox is drawn, you know? Yeah.
When it's not an ox or a bull with like the red, you know, flag, like that bull wants that,
you know,
and that's in us too as well.
Yeah.
Like once we agree to it, or like you said, the desire comes, I desire it. And now I want it. It's like a conception in my heart. Like I kind of like have a taste, or I see it. And now like, you know, that's all I'm thinking about. Like nothing's going to stop me in a way. And this can happen, and we see it. And, yeah, so it's just us embracing sin. And this is all inwardly too as well, before it comes, like the action, before I partake of it, before whatnot.
Yeah.
So this is all happening inward, and the battle is within, you know.
Yes.
In the first two steps, the desire and the conceive, it's happening inward.
And it's good to say that the battle is a sign of a spiritual person, that there is a battle because the spirit is there, right?
Praise God.
That's Galatians 5:16, right? The spirit wars against the flesh, and the flesh wars against the spirit, and the two are contrary to the other, to one to another. Right? So this internal battle means that I know what I'm doing is wrong. Now, could an unbeliever know what they're doing is wrong and try to stop? Yes, but that's a purely moral thing, an ethical thing, where I know what I'm doing is wrong and I'm trying to stop, but I can't, so I keep going in that thing.
Gotcha.
But the spiritual person, they know what it is that's wrong in a spiritual sense, because the word reveals it. And even then, there's a battle. And that's what Galatians 5:16 is talking about. The spirit wars against the flesh. And the desires of the spirit and the desires of the flesh are opposite to each other. So there's that battle. So that's kind of the second part of this text in James. One is the temptation, and two is when desire, when it has conceived, it gives birth to sin. So then that's when we're going after it. We're no longer just being tempted. Now we're pursuing, and then there's sin. And maybe we'll talk about the outward manifestations in a little bit, but maybe the third part you can talk about is when sin, when it is fully grown, it brings forth death. Mm. That's a big part, isn't it? And it's not necessarily physical death, maybe right away.
Yeah, correct.
It's a spiritual death.
Spiritual.
Could be physical.
Could be relationship.
But
the relationship death, spiritual. Just
consequences.
Different things. And so, I mean, that is, about death. Let's see. When it's finished, bring forth death. I mean, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And this is like the ultimate result of sin. And James goes into that because, you know, this is what sin does produce. You know, I think there is, you know, previous things that we'll hit on that kind of come before this. But like you were saying, it could be physical, yes, but then mostly spiritual too as well, like an inward dying. Mm. You know, first it starts inward and then it goes outward and then it kind of comes back in very interesting too as well. But it was conceived is like kind of like birth. Birth. It is grown in me. And, like it doesn't happen, you know, sin, fall, boom, dead. This happens over a length period of time. Yes. And I would say that there's different things that happened before that too as well. Is like you said, we said the desire one. Two is what the conception or sin forms in the heart is like, I want to do it. I agree to do it. And then that comes into action too as well. Yeah. And then from that I would say there's other points too as well. Maybe we could throw in and talk about, but it's just, and then it becomes a habit.
Yeah.
Like bondage to sin. Mm. And then it could also harden heart is, I would say, the fifth one. And then that is when six, I would say, then it becomes this verse, sin then when it's finished brings forth death, spiritually or physically.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you said a lot there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one thing, is what, just to kind of go back. Mm-hmm. So it's conceived in my heart, it's given birth, and then from there it's turns outward.
Yeah. So action is like, and it's now sin is committed.
Yes. So there's two things maybe we could hit on. Mm-hmm. One is my thoughts, and then one is my will.
Yeah.
So temptation happens in my thoughts, mm-hmm. mainly. And then when sin is conceived and birthed, it happens in my will. Mm. Right. Because I'm actually partaking.
Correct.
Right.
Maybe, cause I could have the thought, but it doesn't have to conceive, or I don't have to with my will agree to that.
Yeah. And a part of my will is that I would have sinful thinking. If you can follow that, is that the temptation comes, but I don't have to think about it. Mm-hmm. The problem comes when I start meditating on this sinful thing, or I start feeding myself with thoughts that are sinful, because sinful thoughts are just as bad as sinful actions, in the sense of what they do to me.
Correct. Yeah.
Right. In the sense of what they do to me. Now, obviously there are different consequences for physically sinning and then sinning in my thought life, but for the sake of conversation, sinful thought, Jesus says, is the same thing as sinful action, right? Matthew 5. Mm-hmm. So there's the thoughts that can become sinful, and sin could be conceived even in my thoughts. I think that's a profound point, actually. Mm-hmm. Because our life is made up of how we think, it's so important that we would be correcting our thoughts before they become habitual thoughts, right? What are you thinking about every day? And is this sin something that I'm thinking about all the time? Or is it like, am I thinking with God about other people? Am I thinking with God about who I am? You know, pity could be one thing. Like, do I pity myself? Cause that's also like a temptation. Pitying myself, and then all day long I'm pitying myself, and that becomes my identity. Mm. I haven't even committed any outward thoughts, but I'm living in sin in my own life because I'm pitying myself. Mm. And it doesn't sound like it's sin, but actually God is saying, you're not thinking with me.
is producing death in a way.
Yeah. In Romans 14, it says anything apart from faith is sin. It's like a very broad thing, you know? So I want to be living by faith in my thoughts, because if I'm not like having that thought life with God, it could be very easy to fall into passivity in my thinking and then sinful thinking. So yeah. That's a really good, I think you kind of hit on that a little bit. My thoughts and then my will. When I actually partake, then it starts developing. And that's what you were talking about, that it becomes a habit. And it says there's the birth, and then when it becomes fully grown, then it brings death. So maybe I think you have some things about habits that you want to share. But sin, when it is fully grown. So that's the kind of the phrase, that sin kind of develops along the way. And when it's fully grown, then it brings death.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we talked about the luring in, think about that, that angler fish, you know, the angle, it's like trying to bait little fish to come in.
The one with the little light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's called the angler fish.
Yeah, I think it is.
But you know, it's just like a little light that's flickering. And then what's behind that light? You know, it's a big old fish with big teeth. And this is kind of like the same thing as what you're saying. Just like, this maybe the thought, like sin could be so small, whether it's just a thought. And then it just starts to grow and increase and produce action. And then what you were saying, when it is finished or when it is developed.
Yeah, fully grown, it says here, but finished, developed,
then it produced death too as well. So, but I mean, maybe, the habit part too as well. I had in the Gospel of John 8:34, like whoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And so I think the thing is, we think because it's a small, because it's maybe a thought or inward, I think I could kind of play with it or handle it. You know, I could kind of handle it. And so, or then I get away with it a little bit. I do a little bit here, a little there, and it's not hurting anybody thing. But like what you were saying is just like even these small things, and this is what James is saying, that actually it is growing and growing, and it's only going to get bigger and bigger if it is not dealt with, you know, if it is not dealt. And that's a whole thing too as well. Like this is why we're going through these maybe different steps, or this the progression is to say, hey, like this is kind of giving you a warning. This is going to lead somewhere, and it's going to lead ultimately to death, and it's going to get bigger, and you can't control it and you can't contain it on your own. You were saying the word of God, and like what I'm thinking about in faith, like all these things are beautiful ways to maybe just counter it too as well. But as it progresses, it becomes bigger and larger, and then more difficult, you could say, to maybe escape or feel like you can be delivered from, which we know like God can do that too as well. Yeah, of course. But what this thing does, it just becomes bigger and bigger and louder, and it feels like almost like you're in bondage. And that is what the habits, I start habitually sinning, habitually doing it, because I think I have it under control, but I'm not the one in control. It's actually sin. It's actually that little thought that came up, you know, 18 years ago, whatever, that thing that got it all started. And that is like, that is the device of the enemy. And that's crazy. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, that is. And Hebrews 3:13 is a great verse that says that the deceitfulness of sin can harden my heart. So where does this desire come from? But it comes from the old heart, comes from the old sin nature, is innately inside of us.
Yeah.
And like you were saying about Eve, it can only process the world through what I see and what I hear and what I feel. Right. So Eve processed the temptation about the tree through those things. Like she saw that it was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, and that it could make her wise. So there's like the three things, like lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So those are the ways that I process life on my own. You know, I'm very limited in my ability to process life. It's based on what I feel rather than what God says. which kind of can deliver, it can deliver me from the, that natural way of thinking, that natural way of processing life. So it starts in the heart. That sin starts in the heart, that it's already there, and then it works outward.
Yeah.
Right. And there's a good example of how it can manifest. Maybe I just want to say this one example. It's from Ephesians 4. It's a great Bible verse. Ephesians 4, verse 26. And it says, "Be angry and do not sin." It's a nice verse. Be angry and do not sin. So I might think, oh, every time I get angry, I'm living in sin. I could be thinking that. But the Bible says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. That's great. So how do I process that? That maybe someone listening or someone reading this verse could be struggling with anger problems, anger issues. But then we have this verse. Oh, I can actually get angry and not sin. So how do I do that? Right? Because anger in itself is an emotion. It like comes out of us. We're like angry about something. But how do I handle that? That's the real question. Because I'm angry, I'm fuming, I'm ripping mad. I got to go outside and blow off some steam. But is that sin? Maybe it's not sin, actually. Maybe how I handle it determines whether I go into sin or I'm actually able to think with God and process my anger with God. So be angry and do not sin. So I'm angry. I go outside, I cool off, and I think about what is going on.
Yeah.
Why am I angry? Am I angry because I'm selfish? Am I angry because I didn't get what I want? Am I angry because I'm wrong? Probably all of those things, right? Yeah. But it takes this, this Bible verse can be something that actually goes into the heart of somebody, and it can help them in that moment of temptation to choose life rather than that animalistic response and reaction in the moment. So I think that's a great example. Anger can be like an outburst, but I don't need to say anything because maybe I sin in my words. What if I'm angry and then I'm not sinning? I'm not like anger isn't the sin, but what I say is a sin. I could hurt somebody and that could be sinful speech, right? So I just think that's a great example of having an emotion that comes naturally. But if I think it's 1 Corinthians 15 that says the natural comes first and then the spiritual. So the natural reaction can come, but I want to be able to process that with the word of God so that I'm not falling into this progression of sin.
Yeah. No, I see. Well, one example I know is just with that is, Genesis 4 with Cain and Abel, and that produced, and that was when anger came in because he was denied, right? His offering was denied. And so you're saying like right there, and I think God says to him, like,
yeah,
does it, why are you angry? Like, what's going on? Does it do well? You know? And so then, you know, then it later ended up, what did that anger produce? It produced resentment against his brother.
Yes.
And then that came into now death.
Yes.
You know, now there's a hatred in the heart. I'm thinking these things, you know, I'm like, I gotta, how do I get even at him? Or how do I, you know, my little brother made me look like a fool kind of thing. And so then it produces him murdering his brother. But the initial, I love it. Then God comes to him and he's like, why are you angry? You know? And I think that's what you're saying. It's just like, it's kind of like a conversation, you know, we're just like talking about it. Like, why am I angry? What is going on? And you kind of talk about it and get it out and go off and blow steam in a way, like, or go alone in your closet, whatever it is for you to do. But it's good to get it out. Then internally, I'm trying to figure it out in my own head.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's where like we beat ourselves up, because now I'm thinking about it, pondering it nonstop in my head. And this thing is getting bigger and bigger rather than me letting out, taking it before God, going to the word. Another example, I think Jonah too as well. Yeah. Does it do well for you to be angry, Jonah? I mean, Jonah was angry, right? Oh God.
Yeah.
But then he kind of talked, but he still went.
Yeah.
Like it didn't produce anything from him. Yeah, he had anger in his heart because of what God was having him to do, but he still obeyed the Lord in a way. It didn't end up coming into like sin or him walking away from it. You know, he walked away in the beginning, but at this point in time, he ended up doing what the Lord told him to. So two interesting stories to relate to that.
Yeah, it's good. And it's that emotion that happens. That emotion happens, and then how do I process it? Because we're learning in our new life that we're learning through the being born again, having the Holy Spirit reveal God's word, sanctifying us slowly by slowly, foot by foot, step by step. How can I process my emotional life and also the life of temptation and sin? How do I process that and move forward with God? Because also, Isaiah 30 verse 1, it talks about adding sin to sin. Right? Isaiah 30 verse 1, they may add sin to sin. So that's an interesting point as well about the progression of sin. It multiplies, right? And then as you start forming a habit of doing that same thing over and over, it just compounds and compounds. And there's the guilt and knowing that it's wrong, but not being able to do anything. So adding sin to sin. Mm. Also, the same thing is true of lying, isn't it? Once you say one lie, you have to cover it up with another lie. And it's adding sin to sin. You get deeper and deeper and deeper in it. Right?
Well, how about we take a little... there's this verse in Proverbs 5:22, and it says, his own iniquities entrap the wicked man. His own iniquities, it's the own sin that's entrapping him. He is caught in the cords of sin. So this is like how I was saying before, like it has sin really, we don't have control over it. It ends up having control over us. But we do want to take a build-up break.
Build-up break. Let's go.
We want to build a break. So I tied this in. So we have the cords of sin, but then we have the cords of love in Hosea 11. Check this out. Cords of sin, they bind and they enslave, right? But then the cords of love, what does he do? He draws us with the cord and leads us. So one's enslaving me, one's drawing me and leading me. Cords of sin formed by repeating sin. So there's repetition in it. I constantly do it, like we're saying. Cords of love is initiated by God. I like that.
Yeah.
Lord, praise God. Leads to the destruction, the cords of sin. Leads to restoration is the cords of love. But then the last one, it's a hard bondage. Bondage is a hard, it is the cords of sin. And then what does he do with the cords of love? It's a gentle guidance. It's this back and forth, you know. So that's just a build up break right there. Yeah. There is cords of sin out there, man. And it's like a rope or a bindage. And that's what that means. You're kind of bound by it. And that's what sin can produce. But then there's a cords of love by God that really just draws me, leads me, restores me. And so, think about what cords you're around or what.
I want the cords of love.
I want the cords of love. I want those ones. And how do I? Yeah. So there's a little break right there. There's a little build up break. I had to take a time out.
Yeah.
All right, we're back. We're talking about death. Yeah. Wow. What else can we say? Maybe there's another one. You know, we talk about. It becoming, what was the one before this? Bondage to sin. There's a hardness in our hearts that can happen. But then there's the spiritual blindness that can happen from it. And this is the hardening. I'm sorry. The fourth one was habits, bondage to sin. And then the next one I had was hardening and the spiritual blindness. And the Bible talks a lot about this of hardening our hearts. And that's in Hebrews 3:13, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Like you said, this is a progression. This doesn't happen right away. But the habit forms, and then I start to impartake of this too as well. And then it leads into like a hardening. Maybe we could hit a little bit on that. And then also we see that in Exodus, right? Pharaoh hardened his heart. And then I think of 1 Timothy, the seared, right? Seared conscience, kind of in that same idea of it kind of numbing me. in a way that sin actually can progress to a way where I'm so numb that like, I don't care. I don't even know. Nothing's really getting in, you know, in a way. So this is a progression of sin that we see and the Bible talked about, and sin can do this in somebody's life.
Yeah.
You know,
and someone with a hard heart, they can't receive from God, right?
Yeah.
It's like not ready to hear from him or receive his love even.
Mm.
Yeah. Pharaoh, he couldn't receive God's love. He couldn't receive God's correction. He couldn't do it, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe in another story, Pharaoh would receive from God, but no, it was hard and there was no connection there.
And you think that's just like the pride of man in a way, just like our prideful hearts kind of get in the way. Cause multiple times they came to Pharaoh and just like said, yeah, hey, like let my people go. And just like multiple times, and then boom, okay, there's one, tribulation. And then, okay, here's another opportunity. Yeah. What it's just like the pride of man. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Hard heart. It's an amazing thing to have a hard heart. It can happen to us. It can happen slowly without us knowing, you know, and the heart, Hebrews 3:12, the verse before the one you just said, it says like, let's be careful lest any of you has an unbelieving heart that could lead you away from the living God. So my own heart could lead me away from God. And then it becomes hard. So we want to be careful with understanding what spirit am I of? You know, what spirit am I of towards God? Because that hard heart can lead me away from God. If I'm following my own instincts, my own desires, then eventually I'm going to be following away from God, falling away from God.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about this? Where sin abounds, grace did much more abound, baby.
Amen.
So sin is going towards death, but God is just like, he interrupts it and gets his grace in there, baby. And now it's like leading us to life. And so I love how God does that. And even with a hardened heart, or, you know, if you're listening and just like you have this in your life and you're just like, okay, there's no help for me because I've been doing this for X amount of years. I think about, you know, many times I've heard you say in classes or stuff like that, the axe laid to the roots kind of thing. And God can do that. God can really rejuvenate your life, and he can take that, you know, that hardened heart and break it in a way and give you a new heart, a soft heart.
Yeah.
So
at the center of the issue, the deepest part of this conversation is, Who is on the throne of my heart? That's really the question in all of this. Who is on the throne of my heart? Am I on the throne of my heart? Because if I am, then I'm going to get all these things. Yeah. The progression is going to start. But if I allow myself to step down from that throne and I invite Christ to sit on that throne of my heart, he will change me. He will help me and heal me. And he can give me those cords of love that will free me from the bonds of sin. So that, I think that the very issue of the center point of this whole conversation is that I could have a potential to live in sin because I'm on the throne of my heart. So let's give Christ that throne.
Yeah.
But we can only do it in the secret place of our life alone before him. Do we really trust him? Is he really better than sin? Right? Because why do I sin? But because I know, I think that sin is better than him. But if he's really better than it, if he's really more fulfilling and satisfying and real, then I can step down from that throne and give it to him.
It's like the wine at the party when Jesus restored it. You're like, the guy was like, wow, you brought the better stuff out at the end.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like, you know, a life with Christ, you know, maybe it just like, when you first start off, maybe, you know, you don't get the greatest part of it, but like as you continue in your walk, like then it's like God's bringing out the new wine at the end. And that's kind of like our life in a way. As sin, then the enticement, like they want to give you the best up front and it feels good and all these things and whatnot. I get away with it and I do a little here, but then as I keep going into it, it actually becomes destructive and death and just a bondage in my life.
Sin, the temptation, the tempter, he lures me away, right? Mm-hmm. He like puts that shiny thing in front of my eyes and he's like, follow me. But then Christ, he is like a treasure hidden in a field. You know, he's not like shining himself like, hey, look at me. But he's like, the man that finds this treasure is like, I'm going to sell everything.
Wow.
And I'm going to buy that field. Right. So sin and the tempting is like, come on, like over here, over here, over here, trying to get our attention. But Christ is like, he's away, he's hidden, and I do a little bit of digging and then I find something I never want to let go, right? And then I give everything because of that. So it's interesting. That's Christ good. Is like, when you find me, I'm going to be better than anything else.
Yes.
And the devil doesn't have that. Sin doesn't have that. So it has to be flashy. It has to be momentary. It has to be pleasure for a season, for a second. But when we find that treasure in the field, it's so much more satisfying, gratifying, fulfilling, eternal. It's like, this is what fills our life. And that's why we get down from that throne in our heart.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. Yeah. Wow. Thank you. And let's just close in this reading a psalm. I'd love it. Psalm 1, it kind of like really highlights it all. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So he's not walking around people who are ungodly, who are against God in a way. But he's still walking. You know, he's not a part of them. Nor sits in this, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Okay, now you're standing. Now you're in the way is just like the lifestyle of people. Now I'm standing. Now I'm stagnant. Now I'm lurking around, not where I was supposed to be, nor sits in the seat of scorners. There's a progression in there too as well that you could read into. But verse 2, it shows with the person who takes delight in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. That is his delight, and that is a righteous man. And he picks up the word of God, and he loves the word of God, and knows that it fills his heart and gives him something and teaches him, like, okay, there's sin in this world. There's a person trying, or there's an enemy trying to lure me in, and all these things. And praise God and for the Bible and just it like giving us this, you know. Can you imagine just blindly doing it? In a way we are. We can't see it. But the Bible really just lays it out beautifully. And but sin was throughout the whole scripture and God dealt with it on the cross, and praise God for that.
Amen.
You know. So thank you guys so much for joining us today on this episode. And we appreciate the viewers and your likes and all those things and all the feedback. And so if you want to please, like I said before, like it, give us a like, and subscribe, and Lord, thank you for this day. And just lead us and help us to get off the throne of our hearts, and you're on a throne in our hearts. And we just thank you for this time, Lord. Bless those who are listening, that they can learn from something that we said today, and they can meditate on it and meditate on your law and not react to that sin or that enticement. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you guys for joining the Grace Hour.